Ramble.
STEM, you can take over.
Welcome to Guilty Pleasures, the show that loves what it loves. Each week we talk about one of our favorite Guilty Pleasure movies or TV shows. We invite friends along to share theirs, but today is special because as you can hear by Garrick's squeals of glee, this is a get to know your co-host better week. And we, Garrick, has been begging to do this movie. We're talking about Upgrade. I'm Zach Kornfeld, joined by Kelsey Dara, and birthday boy, it's not his birthday, Garrick Bernard. Hello.
Merry Christmas.
Hey, hello. What's up? Merry Christmas. Happy birthday, Feliz Navidad. Happy Yom Kippur. Happy Boxing Day. Let's get into it. Upgrade is the greatest movie of all time. There are no guilts. End of podcast.
I'm Ed Corndiddy.
I'm Garrick Bernard on all of the things.
It felt weird even introducing this at all because of how excited you are. But basically, every week when we go to film this podcast, Garrick goes, are we doing Upgrade? Are we doing Upgrade?
Oh, not only does he ask, but he inserts this movie into every podcast episode somehow, which I'm sure our lovely editor Miles has cut around maybe once or twice. But guys, he talks about this movie the fucking time.
I mean, you've written an Upgrade joke into Star Trek Lower Decks.
Into Star Trek Lower Decks. Yes, I have.
Is there any small talk today, or are we just diving right in?
We would be torturing him.
How are you guys feeling? You guys all right? You guys good?
Shut up, Rick. Let's just
start. It's the greatest movie of all time.
6 months to do this. What's your personal connection?
What is my personal connection to this movie?
I'm actually
curious. There is none. That's why... That's how great this movie is to me. I love movies that just I just kind of stumble across where I'm just like, I'm really not expecting anything. I'm just going in being like, oh yeah, I'm hanging out. Hulu is up. Let's check out this movie. Yeah. I'm watching a movie with my roommate, Neil, and it slowly creeps in that this might be one of the better movies we've sat down and watched. Mm. And then we watched it two more times. And we were like, is this the best movie we've seen? Oh, we did that recently with Nobody. Nobody wants to watch that or talk about it because it was a pandemic movie, but Nobody was really good in the same way.
I mean, this movie crept up on everybody because it was a small movie. It's a Blumhouse picture. If you don't know, Blumhouse are the dudes that do Paranormal Activity and Saw. Mm-hmm. This was directed
Insidious.
Insidious, Invisible yes. Man. And their game, they do super low budget movies, and their gamble is we'll give someone full creative control, and if we have a hit, we have a mega hit. This was not one. This was not a hit.
Wow.
This was a movie that kind of came and went. It was very critically acclaimed. It's definitely got its cult following. Directed by Lee Whannell, who is one of the writers of Saw. I mean, he's been... a screenwriter working in the biz for years, but this was his big first like crack at directing a movie on his own. He did Insidious 3, but that's like not his movie. And then you may know him as the guy who made Invisible Man, which is a full-on fucking banger of a movie.
Yeah.
But this is like, this is the movie where he found himself. They said, hey, here's a couple million dollars, go nuts. And he went nuts.
Yeah, well, according to the definition, you have some minor PTSD, but you are not, in fact, nuts.
Great.
That's a good...
Okay, that's part of what the thing said. Anyways, Rick, why do you love this movie?
So I love a sci-fi story. I love a contained story. I love a quiet story. And all three of those things were in here, although it like kind of like progressed. To those things, it wasn't like all three at once, blah blah blah. Kind of like genre shifted in the middle.
Something shifted.
I love that. Something
Garrick's
shifted.
Garrick's boner watching the movie.
You know what?
Yeah, I'm sorry
to
interrupt, but this more than any episode that we've done, I think I need to hit us with the synopsis right up top.
Well, I was gonna say make Garrick do it.
Oh, I would love that. Yeah, because this is a movie I feel like most of our audience has missed.
Yeah. And never heard of it.
Yeah.
Except for from Garrick.
Just starting off, it is a hard rated R movie. There are some
a
like,
shockingly rated R movie. Shocking. Rated R movie that all of a sudden you're like, holy shit.
This twice. There was only two times that I did this and I was laying on the couch like this. Holy fuck!
Yes.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
What? And then I went back to laying down.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
Because it's quiet. Anyway, the whole movie is about a guy named Gray Trace. I love that name. And
that
his wife, Asha. They are living together in the suburbs. It's in the not too distant future. There are still some normal cars around, but still some like future tech, like bioengineering and whatnot, biomechanics.
Drone police, self-driving cars, charging pads for your wheelchair, giant tablet tables.
I'm a sucker for an analog man in a digital world, and that's just what he is.
when it starts off and you're just like, what period is this? What the fuck? He's got the neon light, and then it opens up and you're just like, oh, we're in the future. Sick. Okay. All right. Let's do it. Anyway, it is about that. A guy out there with his wife, just chilling. She makes the money. She works at this place called Cobalt that does a wounded warrior project where they give bioengineering to wounded warriors, blah, blah, blah. Some stuff happens. They go out at night, I think, and she gets killed. And he's like, what is this? What happened?
Gets killed. She just gets killed.
She just gets killed right in front of his eyes. She gets killed. He gets paralyzed. They get ambushed by some group of people that they have no idea what happens. An angel donator or whatever donates this thing called stem into his spine, allowing him to walk again. And then he goes out and tries to get vengeance for his dead wife.
Damn.
Chaos ensues.
John Wick meets RoboCop.
Yes.
Super low budget. But very slick. It's a movie that's a combination of a lot of movies you've seen, but it's a classic revenge tale. You've got this guy with an upgraded body. He has a computer in his brain. The computer starts talking to him. And then the computer starts giving him amazing abilities. I'm going to tell you that this is actually another movie. This movie stars Logan Marshall Green, who you know as not Tom Hardy.
It's Tom Hardy. Very
unfortunately, he's
almost
a great actor.
Tom Hardy.
But he's the guy that you're like, is that Tom Hardy?
He's a guy where Tom Hardy says no, and they're just like, let's just get Logan.
I'm not going to lie. I could have seen 10 movies with this guy in it thinking he's Tom Hardy. That's how much he looks like Tom Hardy.
Yeah, I mean, Tom Hardy's got a much bigger filmography, and he's got Logan to thank. But I will say that this movie also is the exact same plot as Tom Hardy's Venom.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Instead of Venom.
They came out at the same time. If I'm not mistaken, they came out at the same time. New guy trying to get vengeance. This thing is talking to him in his head. He's having conversations that people can't hear. And he looks crazy.
But what is Venom about? Like, what's different about Venom? How does Venom end?
So Venom,
like this,
very different, is about a man with an alien that upgrades his body and starts talking to him and starts fighting. And it's with a guy that looks like Logan Marshall Green. It's the same movie, just way shittier.
I can already tell you, this is what,
and that's one of the main reasons why I was so upset about Upgrade being swept under the rug, because Venom did come out at the same time and everybody was just like, oh, I'm just going to watch. It was humongous. And it goes with my overall gripe with like Hollywood stuff in general, where it's just like, oh, you're just going to take existing IP and make a new movie out of it, doing reboots and all that stuff, rather than champion a great original IP, quote unquote. It's not, you know, it's not an original story or anything like that, but it's new. You don't see this.
Well, listen, there was a twist in it that I saw coming from a mile away, but then there was a second twist in it.
The second twist, and you're just like, okay.
Oh, shit. I did not see that coming, and I likey, mama likey.
And so when you said, I see what's coming, I was like, you do, but you don't.
You do, but you don't. And like to tell the audience, it's almost like, imagine if an Alexa or Google Home was implanted into your brain. Like, you can ask it to do things and it can like be intuitive and do things for you.
Right.
Like, you forgot eggs, or in this case, you need to slit this guy's throat because he's about to attack you. And you're like, I had never slit anyone's throat before. And Alexa's like, I'll do it for you. And then she slits his throat with your hands. And then, you know, you're living in a world where you're just like, all I wanted was vengeance for my wife, whom I loved so dearly. And now I'm a murderer.
Now I'm a murderer. Yeah. And he wears that on his face. He wears that on his face really pretty well. I'm not. Yeah. I mean, OK, at the beginning of the movie, first of all, it's kind of a guilt, kind of a pleasure. First things first, his acting is like overboard at the beginning. And I'm just like, all right, you're kind of hamming this up. You're doing a lot.
Which part? When he's like, I don't want to be living anymore.
Oh, I thought that part was actually good. I think it's bad when he's trying to act normal.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
When he's trying to act normal. Like, yeah. when he's trying to act to the detective and be like, I wasn't on the street last night. Right. I'm like, why are you?
Yeah. So all of the parts where he's trying to be a human being.
An alien in his brain.
He's like, I'm like, you're doing this. Why did they cast this dude?
Yes.
And then you see how expressive his face while his body is moving without his agency. And you're like, oh, shit.
Funny.
Okay. That's why it's good. He's good at acting as a head.
Yes.
Being controlled by a body.
Oh my God. The fight. Okay. Like, whatever. We're already into it. Pleasures. Like,
yeah. Pleasures.
The fight
pleasures.
Scenes,
yeah.
Pleasures. Yeah. The fight scenes were out of this world. I feel
fucking
like
that's incredible.
The first thing we have to acknowledge, because imagine truly, like, there is a scene where he is fighting his first bad guy and he's realizing what this stem can do. And he's about to get, like, suffocated and he's like, Stem's like, please let me help. And he's like, help. And he's like, but I need your permission first. He's like, permission granted. I was like, oh, this is funny. And then Stem takes over and the iconic scene, camera shot that Garrick is talking about, where he literally levitates up out of his body. And then Stem starts fighting for him and he gets into the kitchen and there's this amazing scene where our guy Gray is fighting, but it's not him fighting, and he's smashing these plates on this bad guy's head, and he's like, oh my god, please man, stay down, stop getting up, because he can't believe he's doing this with his own body. It was so good.
It's so good.
A girly
how can
millennial
it not get
girl.
You?
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
I think that his audition was that scene. And they're like, yo, you fucking crushed. This is crazy that you did this.
Yes.
And then they had him act in other things. And they're like, sure.
Let's just have to fight the entire time instead.
Yeah, let's try to get more fight scenes in there.
And he has to be frowning.
But the director Lee Whannell, I really truly believe it's a name that like you are going to know in the years to come. Mm-hmm. The way that he shoots these scenes is so dynamic and fun. And it's just the choice. It's a very simple choice. He keeps Logan in the center of the frame at all times. Mm-hmm. So when he's on his back and rises up quickly, the camera whoosh, rotates with him. And then as he's fighting, the camera's moving along. It's super cool. It helps the whole thing feel robotic and stilted. And it just is
there's like a zoom noise every time he moves.
This is a movie I guarantee you that like they had to do 20 takes because the actor kept going like whoosh, 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 like making the sound effects with the sound. He's like no Logan, we're gonna do that in post. He's like, okay.
But I don't think I don't think people understand exactly how hard that must be to act. Like you have a stunt scene of acting, period.
Doing your stunts,
doing your own stunts, but then acting as though someone else is fighting for your body.
Yeah.
And like, yeah. Then to also control the acting on your face. Like when I saw that first fight scene, I was like, done, give it an Oscar. Give the guy an Oscar. This is now my favorite movie. I'm calling everyone right now.
We always say, Oscar is our only barometer for quality here on our show. Yeah. Everything should get
this
an Oscar.
This is where like the whole argument with like put the stunt category in the Oscars in.
Okay.
It's just
yes.
like, look at what the fuck 100%. Is happening. Look at what these people are doing to other people's bodies, to their bodies. Yeah. And look at how well they're acting. Like if you have it'll be more incentive to have like these practical effects to have like actors do their own stunts. Although, you know, you would get hurt, but like you trained for it.
Now, speaking of what they are doing to bodies, another huge pleasure of mine. Holy shit, there is some shocking violence in this movie.
I was going to say, someone has to tell people what that ending, how that guy dies. Someone has to.
Well,
someone
so
has
I'm
to
a huge horror and gore fan. It's just a surprising fact about me. And this had moments that, as Kelsey said, made me go, oh, fuck. Like, you cannot scream at this movie.
Yeah.
I will say this as delicately as I can. The first fight scene of the movie ends with him putting a blade in a man's mouth and jokering him.
But with on both sides at the same time so that
hard
it literally
jokering.
Cuts his brain stem in half.
It is
so crazy.
It's the most insane special effect I've seen.
The first time I saw it, I was like, oh shit, that just turned immediately into a dummy or whatever. Mm-hmm. But also, let's fucking go. I stood up, walked around the house. I was like, let's do it. I'm into this movie, whatever this is, because I genuinely forgot that it was a rated R movie. I forgot. And I thought that I was like, I'm not hearing like fuck or anything like that. So I'm like, whatever. And then that happened.
Wholesome.
I was like, oh,
it's very much like a revenge story, which like plays into another one of my pleasures was like the beginning, the first like 10, 15, 20 minutes of this is like, it's about a guy who
it's very adorable.
Fucking loves his wife, which like, listen, she's fucking hot. I would love that bitch too.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's that kind of love where the guy is loving on his wife so dotingly, so every moment that she's alive, that you're like, oh, she's gonna fucking die. There's no way.
Die.
Like, this is
she's
not sustainable. This is not real. You're shoveling so much lust and passion into 20 minutes to show someone how much this is your soulmate. But I say that as like, I'm complaining about it. I'm not, because that scene where she dies is
it's fucking heartbreaking.
Beautiful. You're like, oh no.
It's just like where he's like, look at me, you're about to pass on to the next life.
I want to be the
last thing that you see. Cause like nobody usually like the camera will pan away from like that type of shit, you know?
Yeah.
They don't hold on it for that long.
Yeah.
And they lean into it. And I was like, oh shit, this is gonna be
bad. You know what I did write down? Speaking of like you saying that they held on to it, which like I didn't realize plays into the joy of the camera movement here, is that when the wife gets shot, they're not actually on the wife. It's in the foreground, like as depth perception, you can see the wife getting shot, but you're watching him. You're watching his actual action. And I was like,
which makes it so much more heartbreaking because you're seeing the pain in his eyes.
Yeah, he's really good at like big emotions. Like he's big at like, you know, scrambling to get to his wife. He's good at the scene after that whole like chunk where he's like
depressed.
Dealing with the PTSD and depressed. That whole sequence is pretty great in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like the scene where he almost overdoses. Mm-hmm. I was like, "Oh fuck, they're like do shit." I was like, "God damn." Him getting his hair cut by his mom. I didn't even expect that to happen where he just like breaks down, starts crying.
It's dense. This is also a long movie.
Oh, it's an hour and a half. It's for exactly 90 minutes.
For like a No, isn't it more? It's like 135 or like
141 is the runtime including credits. So 141. That's not long at all.
I meant that as like it was a little long, but the first like two thirds had me going. And I want to introduce another I want to introduce another pleasure, which is one of my favorite characters of this entire thing, which is our little fairy, kinky, white-faced villain twink who is like half Elon Musk, half Steve Jobs, that's supposed to be the villain, but he looks like a stylist. He looks like an LA gay go-go dancer. Like, I have no belief that he is in this movie as a villain, that I was just like, that's our guy?
This movie is filled with people who look like other people, because I thought he was Dane DeHaan. And I was like, they couldn't get Dane DeHaan, so they have to get this guy. Okay, great.
Yeah. I mean, 100% who they were going for there. But he had this like coiffed, bleached hair. Coiffed? And they're like, no. No Mark Zuckerberg-esque motherfucker is dyeing his hair. Uh-uh. No. Right. Don't believe it.
Also, what a waste of an oceanfront property to dig it underground and put no windows. I was like, get the fuck out of here. You gotta at least have like a...
That house was sick. House.
It was a sick house. They were like the architecture, like I think one of like the main like pleasurable things about Parasite of course is another was the architecture of that house.
Spooky.
And of like, you know, how he built everything upstairs, downstairs and whatnot. And I think that not the essence of upstairs, downstairs, but that architectural plan was here when he was like designing a lot of like the set pieces and whatnot.
It's a big design win throughout this movie, and it does a great job of introducing future tech that I've never thought of, but I want.
But makes sense.
And it makes sense. The one that stuck out to me is everyone has, first of all, his home is like Smart House, the DCOM movie, but like a little more realized, and you're like, oh, this is like what it would be, and you're like, oh, shit, it's dark.
It's like what you think Elon Musk sleeps in right now. Yeah.
But here's the piece of tech that I want is everyone has glass coffee tables that are giant iPads with all of their messages in 100%. It. And that is like, whoa, I want that. That's great.
You know
That's
why
so
they
cool.
will never, you know why they will never do that? Because you don't want a bitch looking through your phone. And if you just have it out on the fucking glass coffee table to see, everyone's going to be all up in your shit and your business, and they will never make that a thing. But it was cool.
But what if that was like a calendar? Yeah.
It doesn't have to be your phone. That was also really weird where he came in and he was just like, look at the messages or whatever. And
that was weird.
It's like, that wasn't locked, Doug?
Yeah.
Don't lock your smart coffee
Put
table
a lock on
you
your
leave?
Smart table.
Yeah.
My smart table has face recognition, which is super helpful.
Or voice recognition, at least.
Like, that was another big thing of my, like, okay, so this villain, right? He's supposed to be this, like, Elon Musk fucking Apple genius motherfucker who comes in and gives our main character STEM. He's like, I've created this little bug thing that gets implanted in the back of your head. You're going to have a surgery, which is completely unrealistic surgery in my backyard fucking Adobe, Zodiac Adobe.
But once again, shockingly graphic.
And I'm going to implant this thing in you. And like, you have a chance in another life. But the one catch is you can't tell anybody about it, not the government, not your mother, nobody. And so you have to pretend like you're in a wheelchair.
And pinky promise, no murdering, please. Please don't go murder. That would make me very upset.
All
whatever
day,
you do.
Make sure you're still playing like a paraplegic, but then I'm going to implant this thing in you. Why? Just because I want to see if it works, I guess?
Right. And
that's
also
what they want you to think.
If this guy was in today's age, he wouldn't get the vaccine. He's not fucking doing this.
No.
He's gonna say no. Get the fuck out of here. We all know what's gonna happen.
Oh my God, I would be a Trump supporter.
By the way, speaking of vaccine, there's a moment. So in the beginning of the movie, the car, like the self-driving car malfunctions and they crash and it's horrifying. It's like the fear you've always had about a self-driving car.
Tesla. Yeah.
Then these thugs come over and they're all wearing masks and it's like, ooh, I think the movie wants you to be like, ooh, spooky. But because we're in the pandemic, I'm like, look how responsible those guys are.
I had the same exact thought.
And they're like, oh no, they're scary.
Damn. The pandemic has ruined villainy.
Did you notice the same exact thing happened when our villain Twink Boy comes into the hospital room?
And he was wearing a mask.
Right, with the mask. He said, I'm not going to give you bird flu, kid. And I was like, put it back on.
You don't know. You know. But like, it's meant to show that he's like an eccentric and a hypochondriac and doesn't leave his home. But again, I'm like, well, look at this upstanding citizen. Every cowboy movie from here on out, when someone walks in with a bandana over their face, I'm going to be like, oh, no, what's going on?
Oh, no.
I'm not going to think anyone's a bank robber.
Changed the whole vibe.
Yeah, but speaking of Homeboy's crazy dungeon-esque Batman slash, like, obviously King Cave slash, like, future model for an Apple store slash his home, apparently, slash his office slash laboratory, the visual effects in this movie, the tech part of, like, the sci-fi tech thriller are the best I've ever seen. And this movie was only a $3 million?
Yeah.
We could put all of our bank accounts together and maybe get $3 million. Mostly, like, Zach has, like, $2.99. But, like, right. We could have $3 million.
Zach has $2 million.
Yeah. Like, there's no way we could make what those people did for $3 million happen.
The way that they did the Steadicam shots is they put an iPhone in his shoulder. And then they just tracked the camera to his shoulder, to the iPhone, and then had him do the moves. And that's all they did.
Shut up. I thought there was, like, a Steadicam attached to him somewhere.
No.
So that was all in the edit?
No, it was in camera, but it was just a software that tracks the location of an iPhone.
Of the iPhone.
It's just like a super simple technology. They just put a phone on him and the camera just... And that's the real triumph of this movie is like he had made super low budget horrors. People had proven that you could do that. But he came in and is like, I'm going to prove that you can make a fully realized Blade Runner sci-fi universe for $3 to $10 million. The exact budget, we don't actually know, but he's an Australian director and it was filmed in Australia, so he gets a big old kickback from the government. So it's probably like closer to $10 million, but then the final price is closer to $3 million. Movie magic! That's how that shit works. Invisible Man was the same way. That movie was super cheap because they filmed in Australia. Got money back.
Really, really good. I mean, not ultimate pleasure. There is an ultimate pleasure that has like a longer explanation after.
Okay.
But the movie is bookended with a blood lick. I don't know if you guys noticed that, but it's fantastic. At the beginning of the movie, where he cuts his finger and he licks his own blood, and he's like, I don't want to get a Band-Aid right now or a napkin, so I'm just going to suck that off right real quick.
Sucking himself off, got it.
Right, sucking himself off. And then at the end,
We're going to have to get into this now.
But he sucks his finger?
In the body, sucks his finger. He looks at his finger, does the same thing, and then walks off because he's never...
Is that supposed to signify that, like, STEM is now human because that's something a human did in the beginning?
No, I think it's just an increase of violence or something like that. I don't know what that exactly means because his hand is all bloody. And he doesn't understand why he did it. He doesn't understand that he was just trying to get rid of blood on his finger. Pull the covers off
of everyone's head. Someone's got to give the ultimate biggest pleasure of this movie.
The ending is fucking great. The ending is so good.
Your ultimate pleasure isn't that the movie began with a guy fixing a car? Because that, I was like, this is Garrick's movie.
Right from the beginning.
The fact that
he did have oil in an ornate jar for some reason. Like, nobody sells it in a jar. What the fuck is wrong with it? Anyway.
I'll let you do the second big surprise. But the first surprise, the first big twist that you find out.
It's
that
not Tom Hardy. And the whole movie, you're watching it and you're like, what? Are you telling me that's not Tom?
It's not Hardy. And no, the big twist is that the little pasty white twink Elon Musk character was the one who actually set up Tom Hardy to be killed so that he could implant the stem inside of him. That was the first one where
that's
you're like,
first twist.
Oh my
that's
God,
twist number
that
one.
Was the
that's first twist.
That was okay.
first twist.
All right,
technically,
okay.
It's like, wait, oh my God, the guy that I thought was my friend that I was selling classic cars to actually wanted me dead so he could implant a technology into me and killed my wife. You're like, oh my God, he now has someone to hunt and kill.
Okay.
I'm realizing this is a three-part twist because twist
I
number
that,
two.
Okay. Because that first one is just like, I didn't even register it as a twist.
Because I'm like, this is dumb.
Second one as a twist.
Okay, what's the second twist, Zach?
Twist number two, turns out that little Twinkie Elon Musk isn't in control at all. It's been STEM for years, who has been becoming sentient as a supercomputer, and he wants to know what it is like to be human. And so STEM planted the man. He saw Logan as an analog man in a digital world. I'm gonna see how many times I can say that phrase.
In a Digimon world.
I think I've hit three. And he's like, I want that body. I'm in control now, motherfucker. Yeah. Which brings us to twist number fucking three.
At the end, Logan, not Tom Hardy, is out of control of his own body. Gray's out of control of his own body. STEM is in control. He's forcing and fighting back from STEM, tries to pull the gun up to his head, and then everything flashes, goes white. He wakes up. He's in a hospital. His wife is alive. You're like, whoa, what the fuck? Oh, that's crazy. Oh,
and
man.
I was about to
dream.
So
I was about
pissed.
To throw
Everybody
my
was
going to
be so mad.
Furious. But
it was going to be so mad. But goes back to the reality. STEM has taken complete control over his body. The detective who has been suspicious along is on the floor. And she's like, Gray? And he's like, Gray's not here right now. Kills her. Walks off. Cuts to black. Fucking lost my mind.
The big reveal, he says, he's like, Gray is not here right now. He's somewhere in a much nicer place he wants to be.
Like,
meaning
trapped
that
in his
STEM,
mind now.
STEM, yeah. Like, no, I think it's that, like, STEM killed his consciousness. And now
he put his
Gray's consciousness is, like, where he wants to be, which is heaven, which is with his wife.
No, I didn't read it as he's dead. I think he's just lost
he's
in the subconscious of his brain.
Him.
No.
He locked
there
him
no
in his
fucking
subconscious.
Heaven. No,
there
not
is,
a chance.
Okay, no.
I will throw down this computer screen now. This is sci-fi,
also,
baby. Oh, sci-fi. We don't go to heaven.
So we don't go to heaven in sci-fi.
We
there
don't
was
go to
three
fucking
different instances. Kelsey, there were three different instances where he started seeing his wife for real. And those three different instances was STEM trying to lock him in his own subconscious.
But
and he woke up and he was like, what was that? Did you have a bad dream? And he was like, no, that wasn't a dream. That felt real. And he's like, don't worry about it. And
I agreed. But don't you think that why would STEM all along be so kind as to leave him in a place where his wife is if it's not to kill him off? Why would he be so nice as to be like, all right, I'm going to put you in your subconscious.
So that he doesn't fight back. Yeah, you want
to
put him in a place where he's happy. You give the lead character what he wants,
which is living in his own mind with his wife alive.
Yes. Yeah. Which also, here's what I love about this is that most movies are about characters getting their wish in some way.
This
and
is
this
what,
is one of the darkest realizations of that I've seen.
Yes.
Because what you would expect a movie like this to be is like, oh, he's going to get what he wants, or what he needs, rather. Actually, I'm sorry. That's what it is. There's a conflict between what a character wants and what a character needs. What he needs is, frankly, to accept his new life and to be like, hey, just because my wife is dead, I'm paraplegic now, but that doesn't mean that I cannot find meaning and joy and purpose in this world. Instead, he fully succumbs to being like, no, I need to be who I was. And as a result, we can assume that the world is gonna end.
It's my favorite thing when a movie doesn't tie up in a pretty bow. Like, this left a blood spattered warm vein pulsating on the concrete floor. This was the opposite of being wrapped up in a bow. This fucked everyone, because the killings were also so lifeless at the end. Like, he's spending this whole time just like, don't kill the person. Oh, fight back my own body. And then the STEM wakes up and just is like, bang, bang. Okay, moving on. And you're like, oh, bitch, there is a whole movie waiting to be happened. This is just the first little sippity sip of the big old margarita.
And I think that as we watch movies all of the time. We watch everything where the character gets what he wants at the end. And it teaches you in life that if you go after things, you'll get what you want.
Damn.
And this one was like, fuck you. You're not special. Everything isn't going to wrap up in a bow.
Yep.
Bad things exist. And I fucking loved it. I love the way that it just cuts off and like ends with a terrible realization.
There were no questions. It was like, yeah, the world is fucked, but at least our lead who you've come to fall in love with is in a better place.
And let's not be mistaken as well. While it is a very bleak ending with some horrifying punctuations of violence, it's a blast. The movie is fun and crazy and over the top. To bring us, if we're ready, to another pleasure.
Always.
Okay, just want to make sure. this movie puts the hand in handguns. That's right. The bad guys have guns built into their arms.
That's pretty cool.
It's just like another piece of future tech that's so stupid and fun. They load bullets in their forearm and shoot it out their hand.
Like,
that's
like
crazy,
Iron Man.
Man.
This
not
is
even
how
like
they load
this.
It. They, chick, right?
They just pump their arms.
Right, they, right. You would think they would shoot like with their fucking finger. They should like a fucking key blast.
It looks like very silly. Okay, wait. Yeah, so can we talk about these guys? Because they're not exactly a guilt, but they're not exactly a pleasure. But there's these like cronies of our white-haired little twink, a villain master guy who, spoiler alert, is actually being run by STEM, who like STEM/twink boy has out in the world as his like crony sidekick dudes who like do all the violence and bad things. And they're supposed to be upgraded, but it's basically like they were iPhone 1 and like our man Gray is iPhone 10X and they just are not upgraded enough for STEM to want to care about them. So he's okay with his upgrades dying, question mark, or like Gray killing them or him killing them. So someone help me.
They wanted to get rid of the old models.
Cobalt was the place that his wife worked at. They do the Wounded Warrior Project. They put those things in, they put the guns and whatnot in them. Or like, you know, just regular stuff, I'm sure. And then they went on the black market and got like guns in their hands. Whatever. Blah, blah, blah. This is,
you know,
the world
first you get like a prosthetic leg, then you get a gun in your hand.
Then you get a gun in your hand because, but these guys were like, literal, you got it. Literal hired guns. By STEM that were then loose ends.
I mean, I would say that they are, they're one of my guilds. They're not the most interesting bad guys. Like, they kind of all, this movie likes a very specific cut of skinny white man in their action movie. And like,
looks like a bunch of dudes from Silver Lake.
Yeah.
Like in line at Trader
Joe's. Oh my God, 100%. It's like hipster fight scenes. But on the topic of the bad guys, I mean, it's this moment's such a guilt that it becomes a pleasure because it's so fucking crazy. But our lead iPhone baddie at one point kills a man by going, achoo! And then it does a super close up to these, like, what is
spit
it?
These particles.
These little germs flying through the air that are little nanorobots.
His fucking COVID. He made COVID and he sneezed it into somebody else's
mouth. Oh, no. Yeah. You're so right. It's like that part, I was done. That part, I looked down at my computer and I was like, I'm going to Pornhub or something else because this is boring. That part, this was where the dull in Act 3, and if we're talking about guilt, y'all got to admit, there is just a bit of a drag where our main character keeps trying to go home to sleep. And I'm like, stop going home to try and take a nap, motherfucker. You're fighting the world. But I guess it's a little bit more realistic than most superhero movies where they never sleep. But that part where the bad guy
too much
sneezes,
napping,
but he just goes, achoo, and then razor spit particles go up inside another guy's nose and kill him.
Yeah, literally the little virus has little blade arms that shoot out. It's so crazy.
So he had nanobots in his bloodstream.
Yeah, nanobots. Yeah.
Did you guys notice, by the way, that Detective Cortez was the woman from Get Out who goes, no, 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 no.
I know her from Handmaid's Tale.
I don't watch it. Ooh, bad feminist. Yeah. Bad feminist over here. My bad, my bad.
I wrote this line down. I don't remember the context. I just love it. Quote, have it your way, cock snot.
Yeah, cock snot.
Yeah, like, what?
Never heard that before. It means he's calling you cum. He's calling you jizz. That's the best way to say jizz now, cock snot.
Cock snot, yeah. From now on, whenever you're hanging out with your partner.
Yeah, and it kind of makes it sound like your dick sneezed on you. Oh, my bad.
Yeah, no.
Achoo, I cock snotted on you. Good thing they're not little tiny razor Corona blades, am I right?
Have we talked about our cum on this podcast?
We've talked about you guys trying your cum.
No, we haven't. That's like, by the way, 2018 BuzzFeed, hell of a video.
Oh, yeah.
Dudes try their own cum for the first time.
Remember when we did Guys Try Butt Plugs and I don't think they ever aired it?
No.
You guys don't remember that?
I don't. I do remember when one of our coworkers had people try fleshlights and the box was right next to my desk. And I'm like, what's this box of? Oh, that's a lot of fleshlights.
And did that video go up?
Yeah, I think so. Some of them were shaped by like demon mouths. And then we all started playing with them with our fingers. And we're like, oh, this is fun. And we were just like, oh, actually, maybe we shouldn't do this in the office.
I don't know how we got here. That's my fault.
Anyway, yeah.
It was about another sneezing. Another guilt. Cox not. Okay, back to, yep, Rick.
Garrick, you have a guilt for this flawless film?
I just thought, I mean, no, I noticed some things. It's fine. Oh? But I do think that they could have leaned into the misdirected conspiracy of it all, where, you know, they find the whole like cobalt thing in the guy's autopsy and all that stuff, and it's just like, oh, so this is linked back to my wife's company, so now I need to go and like learn what they're about and all that stuff. And we find out that they have like a secret organization where they actually, you know, experiment on wounded warriors, weaponizing soldiers and all that stuff. And it's just like, oh, I need to take down. And I find out that my wife was a part of it and all that stuff. And she got killed because of this stuff. All to find out
that
none of it mattered. None of it mattered at all.
Was that what they wanted you? Was that then like an accidental red herring that they were assuming you were going to try and put together of like cobalt?
I don't think so. I think that was like a loose end that they could have just really explored.
Think they just
forgot? They really cut off. I think they just cut it off with the with like exposition with the main guy that killed his wife, where he was just like, I got experimented on all my, you know, and all of this stuff. And it's just like, that doesn't really track or make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. I feel like you guys wanted to go somewhere but didn't find the budget to.
Oh.
And so
possible?
You just wanted to, you know, sweep it under the rug with exposition, which is fine. But
I have a budget moment that I adored. To me, it's a pleasure because, again, I'm so impressed whenever anyone can stretch the limits of money on film.
Yeah.
But there's this one hallway. It's when he's trying to override STEM and his body's like getting shut down. And it's just a hallway of blue glow sticks.
It's what were those?
Just fucking glow sticks through the hall. And you know what? It was vibey as hell.
It worked. It worked for me.
Well, who knows?
Who knows? But the fact that we all noticed it, that's not good. We were all like, is that just a bunch of glow sticks?
I even said, oh, they're going to come back to this. Like, we're going to come back to what these are. And then, they ran back through them the same way
They were just saying, hey, man, future people are crazy, right? they got glow sticks on the ground. That's wild.
Warehouse
we got a bar with a bunch of bullet casings on the floor. Isn't that scary?
We're hooked up to VR 24/7, baby. Give me the liquid IV through my veins. Yeah, they do a lot of ecstasy in the future still. So
hell yeah. I'm certain if we had the director on this podcast, he'd be like, yeah, I had fucking no money and I had to make this hallway look
$3.
Cool. You think he wanted to make this whole movie take place at night? No, that's how you get you. I also noticed there was this driving chase scene. And I'm like, oh, they've passed by that wall about 10 times now. Like it just, they had quarter mile of road that they were able to shut down. They just kept going like round and around and around. And that, you know what though? It still worked. I think he's a hell of a director. I'm super impressed.
Can I have one? It's not really a guilt as much as it's a question that is kind of a guilt. Why if, I think I just answered my own question. Okay. Well,
why?
I'm gonna ask it anyway.
Is that the answer?
Why?
Is why the answer?
Why? I was going to say, why would STEM make this whole thing about someone being able to walk, but not also try to make him forget about his wife so he would be an easier target to inhabit?
anymore.
The question underneath your question is like, yeah, there's definitely other people that he could have, that STEM could have picked.
He could have found.
He picked the single most traumatized,
broken man. I think that he was using the trauma to break his brain and take over.
Sure.
If you do get like
an
a stable
allegory
person,
for trauma, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe.
Breaks you. I'm in. Okay, I like it.
Is that what it was? That's what. As soon as I asked it, I went, "Oh, maybe he wanted him to be mentally weak."
Yeah,
that boy was not physically weak. If you know what I mean.
The whole part about him saying that, "Oh, I'm gonna kill your wife," was just extra money, and I think that was like, you know, he had to kill his wife in order to make him more, you know.
Okay, but like, why did we need his mom character at all?
I don't know.
At all.
Because she's hot.
His hot mama.
Hot mama.
You guys are telling me you're going to have sex with his mom.
Fucking gilf over here.
If I'm so lucky.
God.
I'm taking Kelsey. Yeah, no. You know, I don't want to entertain those thoughts.
It was just, I don't know. It was just his mom taking care of him. You see how hopeless he was.
But then helpless. He goes home to take a nap, and like then that's the only reason why he's found out he's not a paraplegic anymore. Was like they needed someone to notice that he was faking it this whole time.
So I mean, one thing I wondered while watching this movie is this movie within the disabled or paraplegic community? Is this movie a wish fulfillment? Is this movie kind of like a slap in the face because of the character's attitude towards disability? Or is it neutral? Yeah. Are people like, no, it's not so deep, Zach, don't think about it. I don't really know where I landed with
it. No, I thought that was my first thought, was like, oh shit, this is going to be an ableist as hell movie. But then I also thought, if technology can help people in a way that takes them out of physical pain, I would do it. Like, I know all three of us here have metal in our body.
More so that they ask for.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, oh, if you are a paraplegic and you're just like, if I could walk again, I would. And then you elect to have something implanted in your brain. I'm sure.
I mean, that's where we're heading.
Anybody watching that, they'd be like, go for it.
Yeah. I hope so.
I don't know that they'd be like, go for it. I feel like they'd be like, risky.
I'm saying if they I mean, there's the risk. The risk is that thing takes over your mind and you become STEM.
A killer. Well, and to separate the character action from the universe of the movie, I was actually very impressed with the accessibility of the future in this,
even though
it was a very dystopian future. But like, we've done a video series about old age and about how really like our entire society, we should all be coming together to make old age better for us. And the only thing that actually does do that is like things like talk to text and Alexa are very helpful to disabled communities, but just because they're cool. But that's great. That'll help us when we're older for people who are differently abled, for people who are disabled. This future is like the best. It's better than our society for disabled people. Yeah. There are wheelchair ramps everywhere. Voice to text. You can have your medicine by a robot arm.
Everyone has robotics. That's how he gets into bed at night. Like, you can be just like a full Apple store in your house doing everything, which again, I don't know if it's like, he was also healing from like a surgery and a trauma at the same time, which
but that's where like
his,
that's where sci-fi like really gets muddy and you kind of just accept, oh, it's the future is like him healing or whatever. It's just like, oh, drugs are probably better. Or whatever, you know, he just had spinal fusion and I'm still hurting from mine.
This is the most Garrick movie ever.
Little fun fact, after my spinal fusion, my buddy who I also, you know, rave about this movie with, sent me a grabber, a bedpan, and a poster of Upgrade. So
there we're all into it.
You loved this movie before you realized that you were going to need spinal surgery.
Wow.
Yes, I did.
You saw into the future.
Listen, everything you know about Garrick. It opens with a dude fixing his car. It's got a dope sci-fi future. It's about a man with spinal surgery. Yeah. Garrick, yeah. Garrick,
he's definitely
Garrick,
got a
Garrick.
Fine ass girlfriend / wife that I would totally take out for a very nice time.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for being
respectfully.
To her.
Yeah.
We know you weren't thinking it respectfully.
No, sure wasn't. Yeah. Still am not. My last guilt, I know we probably have to wrap up and get to fun facts, but my last guilt was that even though I've never seen any of the other movies like RoboCop or Venom or any of those ones you named, aren't there 800 versions of a guy gets a fucking thing put in his head and we're better now, but it...
You have to keep on remaking the wheel. There are so many different wheels out there. They're reinventing the wheel, not remaking. There's so many different wheels out there. There's fucking bicycle wheels. There's a wooden wheel. There's a water wheel. There's a
circus
tire.
Carnival
there's a
wheel.
Rim.
I don't know why.
There's a carnival wheel. There, like, but it's just, you know, just a remake of those movies. It's a remake of RoboCop. Somebody probably watched RoboCop as a kid, or Lee probably watched RoboCop as a kid and was like, I can probably do this better.
Well, I'm never watching any of that shit. Nothing can beat this 100%.
Look, it's a pleasure and a guilt for me. This movie is a movie, but really it's his director sizzle. It's like, yo, motherfuckers, hello, Hollywood, look what I can do.
Hello, Hollywood.
But I think it does bear repeating. This came out around the same time as Venom, and this movie fucks Venom to death. Venom, all the success that Venom got, Upgrade deserves, and then some. Yeah. It's the superior version.
I call Venom shitty Upgrade. Whenever I'm referring it to someone else, I'm like, oh, yeah, that shitty version of Upgrade? I saw it a couple of times.
I mean, listen, Rick, I will say this. Everything you talked about this movie is true. Like, I thought you were just being an annoying boy the way that Zach was about Josie and the Pussycats.
How dare you? How dare you do Crossroads trash?
But I was like, you know what? I enjoyed it. My partner enjoyed it. This was right up his fucking alley. And very rarely do we ever, ever like the same movie. So, like,
and listen, most importantly, this movie in no way inspired QAnon. So that's, you know, that's a big
top priority. But listen, if we do see some tech shit in the future that, you know, if we get to some iPad tables, we'll know where fucking Elon Musk has been looking.
Actually, this movie totally feeds into the same conspiracy theory bullshit. Like, they're injecting shit in your brain, man, and they're gonna control you with the nanotechnology.
Yeah, but this was true.
I can play that game too.
When in 20 years, when you forget about this movie, they'll go back and be like, they're implanting chips in our brain. And then we can also say, well, there were also several other movies that did this.
In 20 years,
this
when
one.
We're definitely still doing this podcast together.
God help us.
I'm as 50-year-olds.
I would love that.
Best friends. All right, Zach, would you have any fun facts? I feel like this is a perfect movie. How could you have anything exciting and surprising that Garrick doesn't know?
So I don't really have any fun facts, but I do have just I looked through some interviews to find, like, what's fun about this thing. And really what it goes back to is just how impressed I am with the director, because he described this movie as the cuts that he had to make were not by machete, but with a scalpel. And the process of making this movie was a ton of cuts. And giving in and saying, okay, you know, he had this one example. He wrote, three guys rush him, and he takes them all out. Suddenly it becomes one guy rushes him and he takes him out. And then he would look at another and be like, actually nobody rushes him and nobody gets taken out. So the thing that I wish the movie had more of was, frankly, his incredible action, but he was restrained by the budget. But he thinks that what ended up happening is that by stripping the movie back, it actually got better. And there are a lot of examples where he goes through where he had written much bigger scenes, but then what he filmed was a nice, simple, small movie with these moments. And actually, I think that's why the violence is so fucking crazy, because when he could afford it, he's like, I'm going to go for it.
And I'm going to say that will be my last pleasure, is that it did not have too many or too long of fight scenes where you're just like, God, we get it. You went to fucking Hollywood stunt school. Get the fuck out of here.
I said this earlier, but it's so contained. It's such like a guy trying to find three dudes that killed his wife. And it's just that. It's not a bigger, he hired ninjas to come and fight him. And it's just like, where did that come from? There's a military army that is now chasing him. And he's getting shot at. It's like, no, it's just these three dudes that he's trying to find and get answers out of. and he goes to a go, bar, and he fights
and in between he's gonna go home and take a nap.
Yeah, he needs to take a nap. He took like because four fucking naps in this movie.
Looking at like the PTSD side of it, he looks so shocked by the violence. He looks he looks so scared.
You're gonna have to pull my own mental health card against me, motherfucker.
Sorry,
you stubbed
but
looking at it, he is so horrified by the violence. And he's just like, I'm tired. I want to go home. This is crazy. I didn't mean to kill people. You are killing people.
Yeah, no, I did also like that too. It's like he was just a guy who liked cars, not a killer.
Yeah, not a
murderer.
He
just looked that way. He just kind of looked like one.
And there's like there are so many like action films where there's just like, oh, this is just a guy who's like mowing the lawn and we're just like, he's got a secret past and all of this stuff. And he's totally fine with murder. And it's like, what? Well, how? Where
this
did that come
from? A nice, sweet young dad could have been if his wife hadn't been murdered.
Do you guys remember how the movie opens? Not him in the car, but like the actual opening is a robot voice reading the credits of a movie.
Oh.
And that was stupid.
And I
kind of
fucked with that.
That.
I wish that the movie had the opportunity to be campier like that at moments, because I
didn't like
that.
I thought it was something with my friend's Roku, because I'm staying at a different house. And I was like, what the fuck is wrong with this Roku? Is like reading me the code of the movie. And I was like, oh, this is how it opens. I'm going to hate this. And then I was immediately changed.
Well, I'm glad I brought up something you both hated. Well, now's the time of the podcast where we have to decide, is this film a pleasure, a guilty pleasure, or just plain guilty? Garrick, I think we should end with you.
Okay.
You start, Zach.
Okay. I think, I'm going to say that it's a pleasure. I think the movie is really good and just more than anything, really impressive. I am always, you know, especially if you enjoy this movie in the context of how it was made, for how much it was made. It's just a dope action movie with crazy, shocking violence. And one thing we didn't really talk about too much is that it is very funny. I wish that I could have seen this movie in a big crowd cheering and screaming. And perhaps someday I will get that opportunity.
I am also going to have to agree that I don't even know why this was ever even considered a guilty pleasure. I think maybe just because
it's
Rick
not,
talked about it so much
watch it.
That we were just like, we're just annoyed by him. So like, fine, we'll do his stupid fucking movie. And it ended up being so good. And I would say, like, not trying to play too much into like my gender normativity, but like, ladies, if you have a partner that has very different movie opinions than you, I can tell you straightforward, as someone who just enjoys like good dialogue, a love revenge story, that I think this is something you guys could pop on as we wind out of pandemic time, where you're getting in your last many, many 10-hour chunks of Netflix, that this 100% should be on your list. Upgrade for the future.
Wow.
I love it. I would watch it again.
Wow. Amazing.
If you are okay with violence, I just want to be clear to our audience
if
out
you are
there.
Okay,
you got
there are
you
two
have to be
holy
okay.
shit moments that you will not be it able is, to sleep well at night, but you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Just I want the world to be warned and know what they're getting themselves into. If you're down for that, you're gonna you're gonna fuck with it hard.
Rick, close us out, buddy. This is your day.
Yeah. All right. So I think
Garrick vomits on the microphone. He's like, I think
I'm so overcome with emotion. So I think that this movie is a sci-fi.
What if
triumph.
Stem took and over Garrick that, right now? What if we lost him? He's like, and he blinked to reality.
And he did have a brainstem transfusion thing, magic.
Oh,
it wasn't
shit.
That, but you know. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. I think that this movie is an absolute sci-fi triumph. And when you go forth and you make a sci-fi movie, you're not trying to go super far into the future. You're just trying to think of a world where things are a little easier, right? And what about, you know, what about walking? What about getting food? What about blah blah blah? And you I want to print a pizza, she says a couple times. And in this movie, it's just like, well, what if you're a paraplegic and something took over your brain and you could walk and fight like a fucking badass, or not even a badass, just like a robot, just like something without agency, and it's something is moving your arms in this super cool way. I think that it's a sci-fi triumph. I think it's a stunt triumph. I think it's a writing triumph in a weird way. sure, there are some like hiccups in the dialogue and in the jokes or whatever. And it's just like, okay, cool. That's a little campy, but whatever. I'm game. I think that this movie explains in a very nice and concise way that not everything is perfect. At the end of the day, sometimes people lose and you have to accept that.
Yeah.
And the way that it just leaves you with that, with the very like punctual violence at the end, I think that that is like the ultimate triumph in it, the ultimate pleasure in it, and the ultimate reason why people should watch it, because you do watch movies that end in a bow. They teach you a lesson. When you go to film school, they teach you, oh, your character is supposed to change at the end because they wind up back where they started and they change and blah, blah, blah. But this movie, yeah, he changed, but he also lost.
Didn't.
And it's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Didn't change. Yeah.
And it's really pretty to watch. There's a lot of pretty colors. It's
really pretty to watch.
We really didn't talk colors. About the lights, but it's so sparkly and pretty.
Really pretty. I love that the cover is the last shot of the movie. But
I'm curious, do you like this or do you think Invisible Man, which do you think is better?
I've watched this more. It's more. Yeah. It's leaning more into, this one is leaning
Invisible
more into
Invisible Man's
my...
too jump scare. I hate that shit.
I love it though. I love it so much. I think that
this was just
fucking
a good
awesome.
Film. That one's spooky. Yeah. I don't like it.
Oh, that was so good. And that. There's that fight scene in the middle of it where all of a sudden it's this movie in the middle of Invisible Man when they're in the hospital and you're like, oh, shit.
We've done all of our guilty pleasure movies. Crossroads, Josie and the Pussycats, Upgrades. Like, how do we top this? Where do we go from here?
Oh, I've got a few more.
We've got several more. You know,
yeah, do you have list. You have one movie that defines your life? I got.
Right. I got no. so many.
No, I told you I watched one while I was here. What was it? The fucking, the, oh my God. It was like the Irish brothers that are killing bad guys.
Oh,
Boondocks.
That's one of yours.
I'm putting up Boondocks as a request for this podcast.
You and every kid who went Boondocks to film Saints. School.
Yeah.
Who has every dude with that poster on the
wall. Wants
to
be a fucking Tarantino. And
oh,
like,
no.
I could be at a bar and he can come up to me and be like, I'm going to make you a movie, kid.
That's
and all
why
this
it's
bullshit.
So bad.
Okay. Do you remember that moment when Logan Marshall Green walks down the staircase very slowly and then he just appears with his head down and pop, pop, shoots two people without looking? That was the coolest shit I've ever seen in my life.
That shit was fucking cool.
Fucking so cool. There's such cool moments in this. By the way, Garrick, in the little thing that I'm writing right now, I put an upgrade moment.
Fuck yes. Fuck yes.
Oh, if you don't think I'm stealing 100 camera movements and lighting arrangements for my short film from this movie, you're out of your fucking mind. Literally already sent it to my group chat.
You know what's crazier is that I also put an Invisible Man moment in that in that little script, because it's like a bunch of genre scenes, and I did not realize that Lee had directed this too. So I already had the upgrade moment, so I'm like, well, that's the coolest one. Okay. I've known this moment. Anyway, that's it for this week. Please let us know what movies you guys want to see next on this podcast. What friends of ours, what people out in the world do you want to see on this podcast? Maybe like... you know, start tweeting at your favorite celebrities. Tell them they should come on the show. Harass them a little.
Anna
why
Kendrick.
Don't you? That's all fun. You guys, please rate us. I don't care what you rate us. I have a preference, but it helps people find the show. Really do appreciate
it. I care what you rate us.
Yeah, rate it 5 stars.
Rate us highly, please.
And don't forget to subscribe. Leave a comment.
Subscribe. We love it. Thanks for listening, guys. I'm at Corn Diddy on all the things.
I'm Kelsey Dara on all the things.
I'm Garrick Bernard on all the things.
Yes, you are, you sweet little boy.
Until next time.
Let me upgrade you.
There
upgrade
it is.
Upgrade you. Upgrade you.